dun 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 dun. Infamous Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode 72. And what do we call? What did you change the title of this one to?
Certified at the movies.
Yeah, certified infamous at the movies.
Yeah.
So we are going to talk about our favorite, not necessarily the best, but our favorite six films each of 2016.
Oh yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did.
I was
you
worried
said
for a
six.
Second. Oh wait.
Anyway, but yeah. Anyway, before we get to that though, two bits of news to discuss. One, because it's the year of Star Trek and we have to talk about Star Trek constantly. There has been casting news from the CBS All Access Star Trek Discovery. We have three official cast members. Doug Jones,
yeah,
will play
pretty
Lieutenant.
Awesome.
Yeah, Lieutenant Saru, who will be an alien. Shocker, Doug Jones playing an alien.
Yeah,
science officer and member of an all new alien species, which is why I wish this were taking place after Next Gen.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then you have Anthony Rapp, who is Lieutenant Strometz. An astro calling something. I don't know. He's a science guy. He's a fungus expert. He's like Hodgins on Bones.
Okay. All right. Need a fungus expert?
I don't know. But he's another Starfleet science officer. And I think he's going to be the whiny, ratty, like villainy type guy.
Or he'll be Section 31.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And then we got Michelle Yeoh, who is going to play Captain Georgiou, something like that. I don't know how to say it. But she'll be the captain aboard the starship Shenzhou.
So she's not going to be the
captain
of the Discovery.
She's not the captain of the Discovery.
But she's going to be
a regular cast member. Yeah, she will be a regular cast member. So it'll be interesting. Now, we do know that this is going to follow the first officer. That's going to be the main character.
Yeah.
They've said that.
Right.
You know, as far as these three actors go, I'm most excited for Doug Jones. Because I mean, like, you know,
awesome guy.
Yeah, you've met him, but
yeah,
you know, as
I've been hugged by him.
Ooh,
yeah.
But as Abe Sapien in the Hellboy movies, and what they call
just
him,
everything, he plays a lot of creatures.
Yeah, he was on.
Wasn't he Billy Bones or whatever in Hocus Pocus?
Yeah,
yeah.
And then he was on Falling Skies, Cochise.
Yeah,
he's who he played, and he was awesome in that role. But yeah, and then Michelle Yeoh is great in everything she's in. I loved Crouching Tiger. I like the second one that was the Netflix
original. I haven't
watched
that. The Sword of Destiny.
That was really good, yeah.
Yeah.
Was that this year or last
year?
Yeah,
that was this year.
Hmm.
Yep. Oh, it's not on his list.
Not on my list. Spoilers. Spoilers. Wah, wah, wah. And then Anthony Rapp, who is, you know, best known from Adventures in Babysitting and Rent.
Yeah.
And he was also in Road Trip.
Was he?
Yeah, he was the shitty.
I've never seen that.
Oh, really? With Tom Green and Breckenmeyer and Stifler. He was the shitty like TA.
Oh, really?
Who was in love with Amy Smart?
Oh,
because who's not in love with Amy Smart? Wow. Let's be honest.
I haven't seen Amy Smart in a while.
Yeah, she was in something not too long ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, we've been kind of talking about this off and on. You're definitely more excited for it than I am.
I'm more curious than I am excited. Maybe, yeah. Just because I'm like, you know, I wonder what they're gonna do and how much of a train wreck it might be.
I'm
willing to give it more than you because you were more looking forward to it because of Brian Fuller.
Yeah. I mean, Brian
I'm more open to it because it's people that, you know, have been working in the business, but aren't the Joss Whedon and Brian Fuller names.
And you know, that.
And I'm like, that might make it better.
That might.
Yeah.
And so I go into it with less expectation, but, you know,
but I
still
do agree
interest.
With you that it should have been something that took place after Next Gen, Deep
after
Space
Next
Nine,
Gen,
Voyager
yeah.
universe.
Like,
It should have been 25th, 26th century,
like way in the future, right?
Not
like
in
just
between.
Just go all out.
Enterprise and original series.
And so the other thing I worry about is in just kind of the environment we're in, like as a country right now,
yeah,
and things, and all the talk of like diversity and changing things up. Like Star Trek has always been something where diversity was a very organic part of it.
Right.
And are these people in, you know, and I had this question about Brian Fuller. So, you know, are they skilled enough to seamlessly fit diversity into it without it being so far over your head or beaten over your head that it just is all of a sudden loses all its power?
You mean like, I mean, the rest of Star Trek, really, the diversity thing was always there. It just never was, like, in your face.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, yeah.
But with there being a gay character,
yeah,
or there was a gay character, who knows for sure if that'll actually happen or not. But with there being a gay character,
I mean, they're talking
new
about
alien,
like,
species, yeah, and that.
Well, and they're talking like transsexual characters and things like that. I saw that somewhere. Like,
I mean, that
and again,
was,
I don't know if that's fake news or not.
It was in Star Trek, but
it was
never main characters.
In Yeah, but it was always, they were always important to whatever the parable was that week, right?
Yeah.
And it was always about acceptance and that kind of thing. And it was always about, you know, your differences aren't what define you. Your differences are what make us all stronger.
Yeah.
And that's not really how people view diversity in storytelling these days.
Well, and I think for the fact that if these people, you know, that are going to be transsexual or, mm-hmm, you know, homosexual or whatever,
right,
you know, trisexual, bisexual, whatever. If they're part of Starfleet and they're part of the Federation,
right,
they're already accepted.
Right.
So it won't be in your face, but it'll be, you'll be aware that, you know, that character has a husband,
mm-hmm,
like Sulu did in,
and like,
you
the,
know,
the
Star
the thing
Trek
is,
Beyond.
Is it doesn't, that none of that matters,
yeah,
unless it's, you know,
well,
pushing,
like,
the story.
It is.
And that's what I'm concerned about.
I mean, Star Trek Beyond, it was there.
Yeah.
But it wasn't there.
No.
It wasn't in your face.
But it was also part, it added to his motivation to want to save the Yorktown.
Sure. Yeah.
And to really.
But it could have been a female or a male.
It
wouldn't have mattered
have.
Who,
right,
well, you know,
and
who
and
it
so
was.
It wasn't that it was a husband. It was that it was his family.
Family.
And
right,
that's what made it cool.
Yeah.
You know, and made it. Oh, awesome. And happened to be the guy that co-wrote the movie with Simon Pegg.
Right, yeah.
Even better. All right. So there's that.
I mean, I don't care.
Yeah.
Either way, gay characters, transsexual characters, you know, part of the charm of Torchwood was,
yeah,
that you had an omnisexual character,
yeah,
who, you know, pretty much was with anything and everything.
He never found a hole he didn't like.
And yeah, exactly.
I mean,
it was
like,
one of those things where
I
could
crass,
care less.
Yeah, it didn't matter. Like the thing
as
with
long
him
as the
and,
story was good.
Yeah.
If there was motivation,
right,
that involved the characters,
mm-hmm,
you know, that he was involved with. I mean, Jack was, you know, pretty much banged almost everybody.
Yeah. Except for
and,
Gwen.
Yeah. And it was one of those things where, you know, at different times, different things were happening.
Yep.
So,
but I mean, like, even his character, like, if you look at, not Miracle Day, Children of Earth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the spoilers, you know, but the death of Yanto was, like, a huge motivating factor. And it
right,
wasn't just, oh, well, they're gay to be gay.
Right.
It was, it had happened. Like, it had happened organically.
Yeah.
I know you're not caught up on Supergirl, right?
Right.
But that's a storyline that's going on in Supergirl.
Oh,
right,
I've
now,
seen that coming.
And you did.
I know what you're talking about. I've seen it kind of coming.
And, you know, at first it was kind of like, okay, how are they going to handle this?
Well,
and now, but now, like, here's the thing. Like, it's been handled really
right,
well. So
as
okay,
soon as they introduced Maggie Sawyer,
yeah,
I knew what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because Maggie Sawyer, since the late 90s, has been a lesbian,
uh-huh,
character. And she's always been involved with somebody in the DC universe. At one point, I think she was dating Batwoman.
Yeah.
And that. So, you know, it's one of those things where as soon as she showed up, I'm
no,
like,
that was Montoya. Renee Montoya.
Then Maggie was dating Montoya.
Okay.
At one point. But I mean, you know, the fact that I could already guess who the character is that's involved with her, it's like, yeah, it was gonna happen.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, there's always the fact that in real life and you have to think about it in a TV show too. People just happen.
Absolutely. And,
yeah,
and Supergirl did that so well.
Yeah.
I mean, it really did.
Yeah. I mean, people just happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think that, like, sometimes people don't realize that.
Yeah.
like, you know, people will be like, well, I didn't know you were, or whatever. And it's like, I think with Star Trek, it's going to be, it's just there.
And that's what I hope. Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's move on. Dune.
Yeah.
Legendary now has the rights to Dune. They're saying they want to do a movie and a television series, or a series of movies, I guess.
Yeah. They tried that with Dark Tower.
Yeah. The Hollywood Reporter says Dune could give Legendary its very own Star Wars. So here's my, and it's never been a secret that Dune is one of my favorite properties.
Right.
My hope is that it has the depth of the David Lynch film.
Mm-hmm.
A little more true to the story.
Right.
But the style and fun of the Sci-Fi Channel movies.
Okay. Which I've seen both. Yeah. Yeah. I've seen both the Dunes. I've never seen Children of Dune.
So Children, the beauty of Children of Dune from Science Fiction Channel is...
The casting.
Yeah. I mean, James McAvoy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the Alice Craig, Susan Sarandon.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was an amazing cast.
Right.
And, you know, Alec Neiman, who, I mean, it's going to be Newman.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard pressed for me to, like, accept someone else's Paul Atreides after, you know, his, what, 8 hours of it.
Well, the thing that they can do with this is, you know, you can watch Paul Atreides grow a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it'll start when he's a little younger.
Exactly.
And that, so you could always cast Alec Newman as his father.
As the Duke.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's just so little though. I mean, that's like he was perfect as Paul because he was
William
so small.
Hurt was great.
Oh, William Hurt. Yeah. It was
perfect.
Spot on.
Perfect casting for that. Yeah.
You know, in the Baron Harkness, I forget.
Harkonnen?
Yeah, Harkonnen, thank you. Sorry, yeah. I'm thinking Jack Harkness.
Yeah.
What was the actor's name? He's in tons of stuff.
What? The one that was in the
Sci-Fi
miniseries?
Channel. Yeah.
Annie's?
Yeah. I mean, he was perfect. Yeah. Like, you know, anyway. I'm definitely excited for this. I like seeing the tweets like, oh, they're trying to do their very own Game of Thrones. And it's like, yeah, they're way around, douchebag. Like, I hope they're being sarcastic when they're, like, saying that. And
some people probably are, but some people don't.
And they're not understanding that Dune's, you know, what, almost 50 years old?
1950s or 40s. It came
out. Was it the 40s?
First one came out late 40s or early 50s, I think.
It's right there. If you want to, like, right above
okay.
I mean, if you want to grab it and look at the indicia. As Johnny slowly moves across the office, he lumbers towards the bookshelf. Anyway,
65.
Yeah, 1965. Okay, so yeah, we're at 51 years.
Yeah,
so how convenient that I had Dune sitting right there at the top of my bookshelf.
Nerd,
super nerd. Anywho, but yeah, I like I said, like the things that David Lynch added to Dune, some didn't make a lot of sense.
David Lynch, though.
Some were cool, but what I loved most about the David Lynch version was literally the depth that the characters had. Like, you know, it was very much what was from page to screen.
Their inner thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
a lot of people don't know how to write that.
The movie that I feel did that the best was American Psycho.
Yeah.
You know, because that's a movie where most of anything is his inner monologue.
Right.
It's where I think the Hunger Games kind of failed.
Yeah.
Because you read the books, right?
Yeah, I read the books.
I mean, the books are mostly her inner monologue.
Right, yeah. They couldn't do that in the movie.
Well, they could have.
They would have done it right, but...
And I think the reason they didn't was because they wouldn't have a larger cast than her being alone on an island, essentially. We saw that movie. It was called Castaway.
Wilson.
Anywho, I don't know. Are you as excited for this as I am?
I would look forward to any of this stuff being, you know, redone and updated. For the fact of how well effects are done nowadays, you know.
I still say go back and look at the. Sci-fi one.
I mean, honestly,
the effects hold up really, really
effects.
Well. That would be great.
Yeah, but yeah. I want some CG sandworms.
I want a practical sandworm. Build it.
Oh, giant sandworm?
Just build it.
No.
Anyway.
Well, first Legendary has to find a network to finance them.
Yeah.
Doing this if they're going to just do a TV series. I don't like that idea of doing movies and TV series because then it's like, oh, you got to watch everything.
Yeah, like I don't want it to be interconnected. You know, like you could do a movie and maybe do the
Now you're thinking of the stuff that they did.
I'm thinking of the Brian Herbert books and everything.
Yeah, the Kevin J. Anderson Herbert books.
Yeah, I mean, you could do the TV show and jump way into the future, like post-Atreides.
Right.
Right? Which there's so much there, and it's such a cool story. And like you have Leto, too, who becomes a sandworm himself, and he lives for thousands of years.
Okay.
You know? Sorry.
It's just really weird.
Well, I told
don't
you
remember that happening in the David Lynch movie. Just remember lots of water at the end.
Well, I told you the time.
And a rocking soundtrack.
Yeah. The time I brought the book over to the old Scientology store that was down on 4th Street.
No.
And I was like, hey, can we follow this? Because I'll sign up right now.
Oh, wow. What did they do?
They kicked me out.
Yeah?
Yeah. They're like, you can go now. I'm like,
Battlefield Earth.
But I want to. Like, Dune is way better than Battlefield Earth. Anyway, if you're a Scientologist out there, I don't apologize. Anyway. All right. Why don't we get to, okay. We're in the last month of the year.
Yeah.
We're actually recording December 1st. So we're on the ball right now. This month, we're going to do our favorite movies, TV shows, comic books. And comic books
aren't going to be of 2016.
Yeah, they're going to be the favorite ones we've maybe discovered in 2016. Manifest Destiny. but
how far are you now?
I haven't. I bought the other two. I haven't read them yet.
Oh, God.
So So I got all caught up on Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And so I could get to the Clone Conspiracy. I'm ready for Dan Slott to not write Spider-Man anymore.
Okay.
I've enjoyed his run. I'm ready for someone else
to take over.
Spider-Man Renew Your Vows is written by someone else.
Yeah.
And it was really good. And it picked up right where...
Is that taking place in a different universe? Or?
Yeah, it's where the Battle World left off.
Oh, okay.
So
These are all the planets that the Fantastic Four's been creating.
Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah.
But... anyway, no, so we're going to do that comics, and then we're going to close out the month by looking ahead to what we're looking forward to in 2017, and then we'll give you guys a review of Rogue One,
mm-hmm.
which I just bought our tickets for today, and we owe you a final Star Trek The Motion Picture review.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes, tops?
Probably 10.
Okay.
Maybe 20. We'll play some music for about 5 minutes.
we're going to have to do that. We're just going to have to like just play music and not talk.
A video cast and just have the part where the Enterprise is flying through feature. And then cut back to us sitting there like,
I
don't understand what's happening right now. But
I don't know. Yeah, that would be funny.
I believe the V'ger.
V'ger.
V'ger. Yeah.
Nope. All right, so we put together
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, no kidding. We put together our lists. We did not share them until just a few minutes before we started. There's not a lot of crossover.
Aren't you glad?
I am glad. And the one that is the crossover, one I think you were surprised, maybe a little.
Maybe a little.
But it was also one that you recommended, so that was cool. Anyway, so do you have yours in a particular order?
I do not.
Okay.
I did not do them in any kind of order.
I don't have mine in a particular order, but I do have a favorite, and I'm going to lead with a disclaimer. I did not get to go see Arrival. The Amy,
gotcha.
Not Amy.
It just looked like Contact.
Kind of. Yeah. But like. But it's something Amy Adams, thank you. Yeah. It's
Jeremy
one that I
Renner,
really, really want to see. Whitaker. So my list might not be as accurate as it will be at the end of the year. And I'm going to try and go see Arrival this weekend. So I might make an update.
This is our list to date.
To date. Right.
Right.
Because Rogue One is obviously not on here. Rogue One's probably going to be my favorite movie of the year.
What is there something released on Christmas Day this year?
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
which as a fan of the game, I'm looking forward
right.
to. So
I don't know.
Anyway, so to kind of start my list in a like little kind of chronological
What's
list,
your favorite?
We don't want to save our very favorites to the last.
You can do your very favorite whenever you want to. I thought you were going to do it right away since you mentioned it.
Oh, I was going to save it till last. But no, I mean, okay. my favorite movie of 2016 is Hell or High Water.
Okay.
I loved it. I mean, I've watched it.
I haven't seen it yet.
I've probably watched it 5 times.
Wow.
You know, I'm not usually a Ben Foster fan.
Sure.
And he's amazing in this movie. Chris Pine. Like the fact that he's not a bigger star outside of Star Trek,
yeah,
is either he's got a bad agent because he has done some stinkers,
yeah,
or you know he just is doing what he wants to do and doesn't care, which I think that's what it is, and I think that's why he's so good.
I think a lot of these actors now are starting to realize, and yeah. I think the one who's done it the most is Keanu.
Yeah, and I wish Johnny Depp or not. Yeah, I wish Johnny Depp would realize, hey, you can say no to things.
Right. I think that at this point, Keanu has set a trend that most people are starting to follow. I think McConaughey follows it.
Yeah, McConaughey definitely.
Yeah.
But
I don't think it's anything that, you know, you can say Keanu's a trendsetter of that because Redford did it.
Yeah.
Newman did it. You know,
but
go back and look at, you know, actors from eras before the current era, but
yeah,
like Johnny Depp, yeah, he kind of just will take a paycheck at this point.
Yeah, I mean, and I have stuff about him, but so Hell or High Water is it's basically, they called it a neo-western heist crime film.
Okay,
so it's about bank robbers.
Well, right, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, you know,
which, you know, my affinity of all the crimes, that's my favorite.
Right.
If like in a world where it's like, if you could be a criminal, what kind would you want to be? I would want to be a bank robber.
Okay.
But it's directed by David McKenzie, and it was written by Tyler Sheridan. And, you know, it's Chris Pine. It's Ben Foster. Jeff Bridges is in it, and he's doing that weird accent that he did in RIPD.
Oh, that's the...
with Ryan Reynolds.
It's the True Grit accent.
Yeah, the True Grit accent.
Yeah.
But it works in this one.
Well, yeah, sure. It worked in True Grit.
He's a Texas. He's literally
nothing
a
worked
Texas
in
RIPD. Ranger. No,
nothing.
Nothing worked in RIPD.
And you know, it's about a pair of brothers, Toby and Tanner Howard. Sorry, not Foster. And you know, the movie opens with them robbing a bank.
Sure.
And the cool thing is they keep talking about this plan, and there's this motivation. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody.
Right.
But it takes place in Texas and
there's
Oklahoma.
A reason why they're robbing banks.
Right.
And it's not a bad reason, but it's not a good idea to rob a bank for that reason.
Well, and the reason that they're robbing the banks that they're robbing is all part of the story
as
well.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, it was really enjoyable. It was one of those ones where I went by myself on a Friday night. You know, I got kicked out of the house because they had plans. The girls had plans, and I was supposed to go somewhere else, and I decided not to. And they're like, "Well, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here."
Right.
So it's like, fine, I'm gonna go see Hell or High Water. And yeah, like I said, I loved it. It's beautifully shot.
Sure.
You know, it just kind of checked off all the boxes for me.
Okay.
It's,
cool.
For me, like, it's not the same level as Mad Max was last year.
Right. Okay.
Or the year. Yeah, last year.
Yeah, last year.
Because Mad Max was my favorite movie of 2015.
Okay.
Even over Force Awakens.
Oh.
And, you know, it's not that high.
Right.
But it's very much, for me, in the vein of just the story that was told.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Yeah. Hell or High Water.
Sadly, I don't have, like, a favorite on my list.
You never have a favorite because you like...
I'm a movie guy.
Yeah,
I'm just a movie guy. What's next on your list?
The next one on my list is 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Okay.
Which was one I did not expect to love.
Right.
I hated Cloverfield.
Yeah.
Hated it.
Okay.
With the blinding passion of 1,000
red and
yellow
suns. Did we do a
review
on this one?
Yeah. No.
I think we did.
Yeah, we did review this one. Yeah.
Just put that link in the show notes.
I gotta go back and find it.
Oh, come on.
Anyway, I love this for a couple of reasons. Where was I? Oh, I love John Goodman.
Sure.
He's one of my all-time favorite actors. Seeing him as a bad guy. John Gallagher Jr.
Wasn't John Goodman always a bad guy? Even as Dan Connery was a bad guy. Man. He was murdering people back there in the backyard when you weren't seeing
in
it.
In the murder shed.
While Jackie and Roseanne were arguing in the kitchen, Dan's killing people down the street.
Exactly. John Gallagher Jr., who I knew from Newsroom.
I didn't recognize him.
I recognized him right away.
When you said it, I was like, oh, wow, okay.
But and then in what I think is probably her best movie to date, Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Like
Sky High is really good.
Yeah. She's good in Sky High, but she's a villain in Sky High.
Yeah.
And in this
spoilers.
Oh, it's on Netflix now. But like you genuinely care for her and like her and you are rooting for her to, you know, get out there and you know, find the truth, right?
I was just wanting to see what the hell was going on outside of the bunker, right?
Well, and that was the beauty of it, right?
Anybody could have got out. I just wanted to see what was going on.
You know, the music was by Bear McCreary, which, you know, again, I enjoyed. And then the director, Dan Trachtenberg, this was his first feature film.
Right.
I was a fan of his from back in the day when he was one of the co-hosts on the Totally Rad show with Jeff Cannon and Alex Albrecht. And, you know, like I said, it was just one of these things where we didn't see this together.
No.
No, we did review this because you went and saw it and you really liked it.
I really liked it.
And you're like, you need to go see it.
Yeah.
And I think I went on like a Wednesday night with Tim, with the Kibato 7.
Yeah, it was one of those ones where I was going to go see it no matter what, because I was just like, you know, Cloverfield's like a Twilight Zone type thing now. Yeah, they're talking about another one.
And if they do that, awesome. Yeah. You know, I do think they kind of missed a little thing at the end where they should have had the monster in the background, but whatever.
No, I think
that would have been kind of cool.
No, but the alien ships in the background were cool enough.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. But no, like I said, like this was a really, really well done.
That's the one thing that I don't want. I want it to be Cloverfield. I want Cloverfield to associate with it somehow. But I don't want any crossover between these movies besides the name Cloverfield.
Sure. Yeah, because Cloverfield is like the...
Right. It was the street name in this one. Right.
It was the military mission.
Yeah, it was the military mission name in that one. So it's like, you know, that's the only crossover I want is that name.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, yeah. Make them really crazy stories.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
And then my next one, and so I'll do my first three, and then you do your first three.
Okay.
Was Deadpool.
All right.
And mainly because if I'm bored and...
You just watch it.
Or I'm working on something, I need background noise, it is literally my go-to movie right now. X-Men Apocalypse is there a little bit as well.
Okay.
And I really did enjoy that, and it's probably my top 10. But when it comes to Deadpool, it's...
There's parts of it where I can see what you're talking about, where you will stop and watch
it. Yeah, like it gives me that excuse to listen to something in the background, but then to stop and like take a break for a second and be like, oh, hey, because I mean.
Here comes that part I really want to watch type thing.
Yeah. Or if it's like late and I really need to fall asleep.
Yeah.
And not that it's boring. It's just I've seen it so many times at this point that I can turn it on and fade out without worrying, like a test noise. Kind of, yeah. But without worrying about like, oh God, I'm going to fall asleep and I have to go back and like,
yeah, I've done that.
Fast forward.
Recently.
So yeah, I've been doing a lot. But yeah, no, I mean, Ryan Reynolds was perfect in this part. I after the news, like that's coming out with Tim Miller leaving them with Deadpool 2, I'm definitely not as high on Deadpool 2 as I think I was previously. Because I thought Tim Miller did an awesome job keeping Ryan Reynolds from being Hal Jordan, like too much of Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Did you say Hal Jordan?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. I mean, that was Ryan Reynolds in Green Lantern was like, you know, what was it? What in Tropic Thunder? What did Robert Downey Jr.'s character was when you don't go full, you know, and, Ryan Reynolds,
like he changed his pigmentation.
Right. But Ryan Reynolds can't go full Ryan Reynolds. Right. It's just too much. And like
which Deadpool he did kind of.
Well, like, but it was within the confines of that character. Like,
well, yeah.
You look at like him in Blade 3.
Yeah.
That was full Ryan Reynolds, right? And Hannibal King was kind of an annoying character. And
yeah.
You know. In Deadpool, it works just because of how that character was,
for sure,
was
yeah.
created. And you know, Ryan Reynolds was obviously grown in a lab to play Deadpool.
Right. So. I think anybody really can hold that line. I'm more curious what they'll do with Cable.
Yeah. And who's going to be Cable.
And what will Cable be like, you know?
Maybe so. We'll get a Cyclops cameo.
No! Nathan!
No.
All right. So you want me to do three of them?
Sure. Please.
Let me just name them off and that's it.
Whatever you want to do, man.
Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah.
Was one of my picks. Because I
in
really
my top
enjoyed
10.
It. And, I yeah. really enjoyed it. And I just watched it again yesterday. So picked it up on Black Friday. And
I mean, it's my favorite of all the.
I was going to say it's one of the best.
Yeah.
It's one of the best Trek movies. And really, it is rewatchable.
Super
after
rewatchable.
Watching it, you know, again.
And you catch kind of little itty bitty things throughout. You know.
But just the end scene with Sabotage playing was like, you know. I mean, I remember in the theater, we all were like screaming when that happened. And it's like, yes,
we were all bowing our heads. Yep. And yeah,
so that's one of my picks. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, we'll put links to IMBD and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll put links to our reviews in there. One that I don't know if it's kind of surprised you was Zootopia.
Zootopia did surprise me that it was on your list, and I enjoyed Zootopia as well.
Yeah.
I think as far as Zootopia goes, it's one of maybe the more important movies to watch.
Yeah.
Because of the message.
Yeah, exactly.
But I was bored with a big chunk of the middle of that movie.
Really?
And I don't know. I'm a big Jason Bateman fan.
Yeah.
You know, and I loved him as Nick Fox.
Yeah.
Or what was
Nick
it?
Wilde.
Nick Wilde. Yeah. But I just kind of, I drifted a lot.
Really?
When I watched that. And even when we got it and we watched it, I haven't made it through it yet without falling asleep.
Okay. So and this just, one's available on Netflix.
Yeah,
so
and it is.
It's like,
and
there, you know,
there's,
definitely.
There's something just about the middle chunk of that movie that I liken it to Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
I don't think I've seen the middle of that movie.
Oh, wow.
Ever. Even when we went and saw it in the theater. It's one of the few times I've ever fallen asleep.
Wow.
So, yeah.
It's a fun movie. It does have a social message in it, which isn't, you know, beat over your head.
No, and that's why I said why I think it's an important
There's
social message.
There's a lot of jokes, like in jokes, like if you're into Disney movies.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them in there. Especially pay attention to Alan Tudyk's character, because it references something from his character in Frozen.
Yeah.
And pay attention to something going on in a train car and a couple of people's names.
Yeah.
And it references back to a certain television show that everybody seems to like.
Cool. I will say, I think this is probably the best voice cast.
Yeah.
Top to bottom.
Oh, they did a really good
they
job.
Have ever had.
Yeah.
The best.
Well, we haven't seen Moana, though, so.
The best. Like you know. I mean,
yeah,
Moana's
I mean,
only,
they,
but
they,
here's the thing. Moana's
really
only
well.
Like, you know, maybe 5-6 characters.
Yeah.
There's not a lot for the size of the cast had to have for this. The best.
Yeah. Yesterday was like Idris Elba day for me because I watched Star Trek Beyond and Zootopia. And I'm like, geez, oh, please. I forgot about Idris Elba in this.
You should have thrown in a Bastille day.
I had to go to work. You know. I had to go to work. Otherwise, I would have like started watching Luther or something.
My next one,
Captain America Civil War. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought, you know, as a conclusion to that story.
To that trilogy.
Yeah, that's a definite trilogy there. I think it was a well-done conclusion. I think it was a good first chapter of what the Avengers will become in the next storyline.
As the phase 4 continues.
Yeah, and I mean, just everybody was on their mark. As their characters and, you know, the fights and Ant-Man showing up and Spider-Man showing up.
It was the most Empire Strikes Back of all the Marvel films.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
That one that's in my top 10 as well.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and it got bumped for another Marvel movie out of the top 6.
Right.
But I still like Winter Soldier better.
Winter Soldier is a better movie on a whole. If we were going to pick like the three, Winter Soldier is probably the best.
But Captain America, the First Avenger, is the one that I like to rewatch the most.
Well, right. And that's because it's Joe Johnston.
Yeah.
And Joe Johnston has a.
Well, I mean, we're both big Rocketeer fans. And that time and that era, World War II for me is something I'm always going to be interested in.
Well, sure.
In.
Yeah.
No.
Plus, I really think like Hugo Weaving is a good part of rewatching that movie because the Red Skull in that movie is like.
Perfect.
Perfect villain.
Perfect.
Perfect on
I mean,
the
he's
mark.
Just a perfect Red Skull.
I mean, yeah.
Like it's a shame he got sick of doing the big trilogy, superhero blockbusters.
I think he'll be back eventually.
I hope so.
Yeah. I think that if, you know, and that's an idea for a future episode, if you were going to rank the performances of all the villains in the Marvel movies, his is the closest to the comic book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I actually put him ahead of Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And you know we're definitely in the minority there. I think what did this for me was as I sit there and I rewatch it and I start to kind of pick at it.
Yeah.
Just because
there are things you can pick at. Yeah.
It's like the things that they're getting blamed for are not entirely their fault.
All right. Yeah.
Like the government launched the nuke. Yes, Tony Stark created Ultron.
Right.
When Scarlet Witch is lifting up the exploding crossbones, right?
Yeah.
If she leaves him down there, it kills way more people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know? The entire, and again, going back to the Civil War comic book, and I know it's even thing, the whole thing with Tony, like, oh, we have to sign this and we have to register and we have to do this and we have to be accountable. It's like, dude, you're the one who messes up more than anybody.
Right.
Like, maybe you should say, hey, I'm going to stop. Like, I'm just going to do what you guys tell me to do.
Right.
Like, how about that?
Because his ego would never let him do that.
Well, right.
Right.
And so, and then Rhodey.
Yeah.
Like, just, I hated him. In Civil War.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's like, okay, you broke your back.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Let's bring in Rhuri Williams from the comic now, and we'll have Ironheart.
I mean, it's one of those
She's a better character anyway. She should
come in as War Machine still. And,
yeah, well. The Rhuri Williams character in the comic, she's a better character in 4 issues than I think Rhodey Rhodes has been in, 50 years of comics?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just saying.
Okay.
So, cool.
So what's your next?
Why
don't you save the crossover one for the end?
We'll do the last one.
Yeah.
My next one is Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely adored this film. Eddie Redmayne was so freaking good in this.
Oh, yeah.
John Voight was good. Like, I actually really liked John Voight for the little bit that we had of him. Because he was very much that
Colin Farrell.
This is the best we've seen of Colin Farrell in a really long time.
In a really long time.
And there's a spoiler bit about the end that I'm not going to spoil.
Yeah, don't.
Too much. But we're probably not going to get Colin Farrell back.
And I say probably the possibility because of the whole Mad Eye Moody part of that.
Like he might be someone.
Yeah, he might be somewhere.
The standout Dan Fogler, who
the funny thing about that was I'm like sitting there the whole time going, what have I seen him in before?
So I love Fanboys, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And Balls of Fury is great. Yeah. And then he's been he's the kid's uncle on the Goldbergs.
Oh, so is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's Murray's dad or Murray's brother. And he always comes in with like a new scheme.
Sure.
And he showed up with a DeLorean at the Thanksgiving episode one
nice.
Year.
Nice.
I loved him. And then Ezra Miller.
Yes.
Which one? I'm like, I'm sitting there and I'm looking at Credence or that was, no, yeah. was it Credence?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sitting there looking at him. Like, why is he so, holy crap, that's Ezra Miller.
Yeah.
It was, it's such a departure from the other types of roles that he's done and what we know is coming. To watch him be that hunched over, thing.
Beaten down, braided.
And then the the whole idea of the what
Obscurus?
Was the Obscurus? Thank you. I was gonna say the obelisk of the Obscurus. Like in England, they have the squibs, and like here they have the squibs, and you know, at no point did we ever hear about.
Well, and somebody
what happens when they push the magic down, and it's like
somebody's gone back and said that the Obscurus thing may have been what killed Dumbledore's sister.
Okay,
and that because of what's his name that's at the beginning of Fantastic Beasts that's causing
the Grimwald.
Yeah. So Grimwald, like we know that in the history that Grimwald fought.
Well, we know from Harry Potter that they were he was Dumbledore's greatest villain.
Yeah. And the Dumbledore brothers fought him and she got caught in the crossfire. But now people are saying the reason why Grimwald might have been involved in this story is because he was looking for an Obscurus because he found out about her.
Yeah.
And she died, you know, and he was looking for one because he knew how powerful they were. Mm-hmm. And that's not spoiling anything.
No.
That's
we know, I mean, there's a mention of Dumbledore.
Yeah.
It's been announced he's going to be in the rest of the Fantastic Beast movies. I really hope they only do three.
They're going to do five from what you said.
Yeah, I would love it to only be three.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know. I hope Dan Fogler is in all of them.
Yeah, I think he'll be back.
And then I loved Queenie.
Yeah,
the sister.
Both the
sisters were great, but Queenie was like, she was so fun.
Well, and that was another thing that we never have encountered. That's why I said I really enjoyed this movie for the fact that we got the adult world.
Yeah, the adult witches and wizards.
So we got people like we hadn't seen because Queenie has an ability that they never showed
in
any of the
minds.
Harry Potters. And it's not like J.K. Rowling's just retroactively creating stuff. She has all this stuff in her head.
And it's not like it's a retroactively creating things anyway, because it's a prequel.
Yeah.
And, you know, finding out that Newt had a brother who was a war hero.
Yeah.
And well, now I want to know more about the war.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, and the idea that Newt is protecting these animals as a preservation society because witches and wizards have been killing them.
Right.
And it's like, what?
Well, they're illegal in the United States. Yeah. And he has one, you know. He's trying to get the one home.
The discussion of which school's better, Hogwarts or Ivermorny.
Yeah,
it's like okay.
I went to the greatest wizard and witcheting school in the world, Hogwarts. And she's like, oh,
yeah,
whatever,
no.
You know. But it's like Hogwarts is way better.
Yeah,
but to see witches and wizards fully powered.
Yeah,
right. The able to. It's not evaporate, but I always say evaporate.
Apparate. Yeah.
They're able to apparate just on a whim from one side of the room to the other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, was so cool. And the effect, like, I loved how, because it was always the arm kind of going over or around and then just folding it.
Yeah, like literally you grab yourself and you flip yourself.
But, even when they were grabbing him with the other people, right?
Yeah.
Because in the Harry Potter movies, it was very much of teleporting up, right? And so, I don't know. I really appreciate it. I love the creatures. The Nerf, is it the Nerfler? Is that how you say it?
Yeah. The one who was the thief?
Yeah, the Niffler. Yeah. The Niffler.
Yeah.
One, I want a Niffler. Two, he was awesome.
He's going to have to be in every one of those movies.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like I said.
The Beast. And I was like, I was so happy that they showed them all.
Yeah.
Because I was like, if this is just going to be the case opening up every once in a while and you're seeing a little paw or something, it's like, no. But literally, you go into the case and you get to see everything.
Yeah.
It's like,
and it's bigger on the inside.
Wow.
And I love when Dan Fogler got stuck.
Yeah.
Trying to go down. But anyway. Yeah. It was, like I said, it was.
Yeah,
it was,
it's a fun movie.
It was fantastic.
Yep.
All right, so then my next one is Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
And this is the one that bumps Civil War for me.
Okay.
This is one of the Marvel movies I like, kind of like Ant-Man, right?
Mm-hmm.
I went into it wanting it to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, I didn't really expect a whole lot out of it.
Right.
And part of that is because of, you know, my feelings towards Benedict Cumberbatch.
Right.
I think he's very much a hit or a miss actor.
Yeah, I can see
think,
that.
I think he's either on or he's off.
He's calm. Yeah, well. He's on or he's calm. Like,
I really liked him in The Imitation Game.
Yeah, he was really good in that.
I tolerate him as Sherlock.
I think he's a good Sherlock.
I think he's gotten better. But yeah. You got to remember, I didn't like Sherlock until the second season.
Okay.
Or actually, no, that's not true. I didn't like Sherlock until Moriarty revealed himself as Moriarty.
Okay.
Because then it's like, you know. Right. I liked the casting in this film.
Yeah.
I loved Tilda Swinton. I loved Mads Mikkelsen, even though we didn't get a lot of them. And the setup for Chiwetel Ejiofor to be a villain for more than half a movie as Baron Mordo is awesome.
Yeah, well, he wasn't even called Baron Mordo. And no, he was just Carl.
Mordo. Yeah, Carl Mordo.
Yeah.
And then the use of the Eye of Agamotto.
Yeah.
And the tie-in to Thanos.
Yeah.
Was like, you know, they did.
You didn't
so
even mention Benedict Wong as Wong.
Well, he's gonna need a whole thing. Hold on. But it did more to push Phase 4 forward.
Yeah.
Than the last three Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And it had the two best stingers.
At the beginning or the second of Phase 4?
This is the second one of Phase 4. But I'm saying even through Phase 3, like Phase 3 was rough.
Yeah.
You know, as far as like, you know, I mean, the fact that we've seen Josh Brolin as Thanos for a total of like maybe 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Through 14 films.
Yeah.
You know, but no, Benedict Wong was my favorite part of the movie.
Right.
As Wong, as the librarian, as the keeper of the knowledge and like, you know, really kind of his wizarding mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's not his manservant. He's his teacher.
Did this movie need to be an origin story?
Did it feel like
maybe
an origin
not,
story?
But
though?
It wasn't. That was the thing. It was a redemption story, right? And he was this just ass.
Yeah.
You know? And he was horrible to everyone around him.
I don't think
him.
like this with Ant-Man, mm-hmm. there wasn't really an origin. It was just, oh, they got their power.
So
and they realized what they needed to be, that they were better than they thought they were at what they were.
Right. And much like Ant-Man and even much like Iron Man 1.
Yeah.
It was a self-contained story.
Yeah.
That was a part of a larger universe that recognized it.
Right.
And then where this one took it a step forward was it kind of fractured our status quo.
Right.
Of what we see as the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Because now all of a sudden, we have a true multiverse.
Yeah.
We have split dimensions. You know, this is what's going to open up the Infinity War, whatever the next Avengers is going
to
be called.
Well, and it's like, you know, we didn't really get to talk about it much, but like my whole thing is, and you know, I discussed it with her since we were riding to Florida and we had just seen it the day before. I told her, I said, this is the perfect way for 20th Century Fox and Marvel to cross over their movies, because now you have a multiverse that characters from mm-hmm. Fantastic Four and X-Men can show up in a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie.
I mean, you want to do a Dark Phoenix saga?
Yeah.
Don't do the X-Men Dark Phoenix saga. Do a Dark Phoenix saga, right? Where they're all coming together and, you know,
the threat ripples through the multiverse to the point that Doctor Strange appears.
Yeah, and he's got to bring a team of heroes to help, you know, or, you know, you do a secret war or not secret. Well, yeah, Secret Wars.
Yeah.
But you do the Secret Invasion storyline.
Yeah.
You know, that could be an awesome multiverse rippling effect. So,
Well, and it's just one of those things where I think that for 20th Century Fox, they need to let go of Fantastic Four.
Yes.
They have not done a good job with that.
Yeah.
And this would be the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They bring them into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Let mm-hmm. them go.
Yeah.
Cut the cords. Keep X-Men. Keep all that stuff going. And just let Marvel Cinematic Universe have the Fantastic Four to do. And I think that would be awesome if they did that.
I agree. The other thing is, you know, it was just something different.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people actually died.
Yeah.
You know, it was a good cast. It was a good story. And, you know, it looked amazing.
What did you think of Rachel McAdams?
I thought they used her perfectly. Yeah. Like, you know, I saw these people like
it was
talking.
Subtle enough, but she wasn't there enough to like be.
Well, but I saw all these people saying like, oh, well, she was the love interest. And it's like,
no, she was just his friend.
Like at the end of the day, she was the person he trusted most. Yeah. So I've been watching a lot of Smallville and like she was his Chloe Sullivan.
Yeah.
Right. Like she was super annoying for a little bit in the movie because she was all positive and upbeat.
Right.
And then, you know, you realized, oh, wait, no. She's probably the most capable person in this movie.
All right.
And then she was the one who was like there to save the day.
Yeah. Because
the whole thing with
my point of view with her was, and you know, it was the thing where you knew they hadn't had a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She knew what was good in him.
Yeah.
Even though he was a dick.
Yeah.
I mean, she knew what was good because she proves it the first minute you see her by him going and getting him and saying, we need to help this guy.
He's a dick, but he's not 100%
yeah.
dick.
She's
right?
like, you know. She knows what the good in him is and, you know, is trying to help him after he's injured.
She should have taken, like, Luke should have taken her class on how to bring the good out of somebody.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. So. And that's what I'm like, you know, if anything, that's what she was. She's his best friend.
Yeah.
And you don't have to, you don't have to have the romance.
I mean, Marvel
in
did
a
it.
Movie.
Marvel did it right in Iron Man 1 with Pepper Potts,
yeah.
right? And then in Iron Man 2, it was fine.
Yeah.
You know, the way they brought them together. By Iron Man 3, it was like, okay, enough of this.
Yeah.
Like, you just shoehorn these people together.
And they realized it, and that's why you got what you got right. with Civil War.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep. So, anyway. All right. So, you have two more. Well, three more, but we have.
Did you name both of yours?
Yeah. Fantastic Beasts.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah.
So, my next one's Suicide Squad.
Right.
Which I really enjoyed.
I enjoyed it.
Which is kind of weird to say about a DC cinematic movie.
So I watched the extended cut.
Right.
And I told you, like, it didn't add anything. It didn't take anything away.
Okay.
It still has all the same problems.
Well, and yeah. I mean, we talked about it and the things that I had issues with.
I enjoyed watching this.
But it's
it was fun to see on the big screen.
For me, it's kind of not on the level of Die Hard or Lethal Weapon mm-hmm. type, but it is that type of movie where you could just, you know, you could just turn it on.
Yeah, it's on like the level of
it's
kind of White House Down.
A Deadpool level.
Well, I was thinking
thing,
like
yeah.
White House Down or Olympus Has
oh,
Fallen.
Oh, Olympus Has Fallen, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's one of those ones where it's the action's there mm-hmm. and the story's there. I really think that Will Smith did a really good job in this movie.
As a person who Deadshot is their favorite DC yeah. villain, like, yes, I will wholeheartedly agree
yeah.
with that.
I thought that, what's his name that played Boomerang?
Oh, Jai Courtney.
Jai Courtney, yeah. I thought Jai was, like, really good.
They used him the perfect amount.
Yeah, they used him
Jay
enough.
Jay Hernandez still, to me, still stole
Jay
the show.
Jay Hernandez, but
so
Adekawale that played Killer Croc.
Yeah, see...
I thought for what they had of him in the movie,
yeah.
he knocked it out of the park. The one that was like probably the least interesting was Katana.
Well, yeah,
and
again,
I mean,
she was just a throwaway.
Yeah.
Like, cause she was in the Suicide Squad comic for a little bit
yeah.
here and there, you know.
But and Harley was really well done.
Well, yeah, I mean Margot Robbie's
yeah,
just such
so
a great actress
it's one of those ones where it's like, yeah, I enjoyed this enough that I put it on the list.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, no, yeah. like I said, I enjoyed it. Like.
It's a brainless action movie, which is sometimes preferred.
Absolutely. And that's for me with Deadpool.
And it had enough crossover with what we had seen with Superman versus Batman, with Ben Affleck showing up in that, that I was satisfied with that,
sure.
too.
I still hate Jared Leto as the Joker. That's the
yeah,
for me, that's what it
I,
is,
I
right?
said that was that my that was probably my most major issue. And I told people that were seeing it, I'm like, just a warning.
If we, it like, to me... If
that
you
damn
see him
laugh, man.
If you see him as like in the scene with the Batman when they're trying to get Harley Quinn,
yeah.
right? If that's the first time we see him and then we don't see him again until he busts Harley out at the end,
which would have been awesome.
Dude, people are losing their mind and all of a sudden like,
the helicopter
it's like I
scene
can't
was
wait.
Just
it was horrible.
Too much.
But like but you do it that way and it's like, you know what? I can't wait to see the Joker. I
yeah.
can't wait for a Harley Quinn standalone movie.
Yeah.
I absolutely do not want a Harley Quinn standalone movie because it's just going to be more of the crap. You know, the whole scene with him and her in Common in the club, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, one, what a waste of Common.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, because he could have been something cool. Like, he could have ended up being like Black Mask or something like that.
I remember when his, you know? The rumor was he was going to be Jon Stewart. And yeah. I'm like, well, they wasted that now.
Yep. yeah, it was just, you know, so I don't know. Like, I agree. It was a fun movie.
I think
like,
that
it's not it's not in my top 20 of the movies I've seen this year. I mean,
if they did it, if they do a sequel, obviously they will. I think that the sequel should be them going after Harley and Joker.
Yeah. And they should be forced, you know,
a mass army
just big
of
manhunt.
Just Joker followers and that.
Yeah. And they should do like the Joker, like not zombies, but like the Joker smile.
Yeah, the
like Joker, the Joker gas.
Yeah. Well, they do the Joker gang from Batman Beyond as you know his army.
I
right.
Like
yeah.
That. All right. All right.
My next one is a documentary.
Yeah.
That I watched. It's on Netflix. It's called Floyd Norman: An Animated Life. Mm-hmm. It's about an animator who worked for Disney.
Right.
And still
he was
works
the
for Disney.
First black animator.
Yeah. He was forced to retire at 60.
Yeah.
But he still works for them.
Okay.
Because he pretty much like just goes in and does stuff for
yeah.
them.
Yeah. I was going to put a documentary on mine, but then realized it was from 2014.
Oh, okay. So. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I went and checked this one. Yeah. It was from this year. So it is a very interesting documentary because he worked with Walt.
Mm-hmm.
He's been around since then.
Yeah.
And it tells a lot of stuff that he worked on and a lot of stuff that he dealt with, not as a black man, but as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of like ins and outs of what goes on behind the scenes in animation.
Right.
And that, plus there's a lot of cool animation in it from him, and that they talk to his ex-wife and his current wife. They talk to a lot of the Disney people that are, you know, the old crew that's still around and the younger crowd that were inspired by him and that.
Because he did a lot of
trivia that, you know, is cool stuff.
Because he did some of the, like, really with the painted backgrounds, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was kind of the innovator there.
Yeah. He worked on a lot of, like, and I think he worked on Robin Hood and a lot of the other ones. And it's just a very interesting story. And that, so.
Yep. Cool. Yeah, that's one that's in my queue.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. I think it's like an hour and a half.
Like I said, I have 92 episodes of Smallville to watch.
Okay.
So I'm already up through the Justice League stuff. Jeez. And yeah, I know. Anyway, all right. So then for our crossover, which I wasn't surprised it was on your list.
Right.
I think you might have been a little bit surprised for me, but
a little bit, maybe.
It's a Netflix original.
Yes.
And it's called The Fundamentals of Caring. And I think we've mentioned it. We didn't really get too far into it.
Maybe.
It's Paul Rudd. It's Selena Gomez.
Yes.
And Craig Roberts is the kid's name.
Yeah.
And it's directed by Rob Burnett. And it's based on a novel by the same name from Jonathan Evanson.
Okay. That part I didn't know. I will have to
It had its world premiere at the Sundance Film Festival January 29th. It was released on Netflix in June. Paul Rudd. This is probably like, you know, like outside of like the superhero stuff.
Yeah.
You know, this is the type of stuff I like to see Paul Rudd in.
Sure. Yeah.
This is one of my favorite Paul Rudd performances.
Okay.
For a couple reasons. One, I'm a dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm not going to spoil anything
right,
because there's a lot of like really cool stuff. Two, I'm getting older, I'm trying to be more empathetic with people.
Sure.
Which, you know, you may or may not see, but you know, I'm trying. And three, you know, I think, you know, with muscular dystrophy and you know, some of the things that this movie brings and you know, shares about muscular dystrophy.
Yeah.
It was great. It was caring. It was heartfelt.
Yeah.
It was funny. When he gives him the Slim Jim and
he fakes like he's choking. Yeah.
And, you know, and it's heartbreaking when he leaves the CPAP machine behind and it's like they need to find a new one. And, you know,
there's a lot to this movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of layers to this movie.
It's like a little Brussels sprout, man. You keep peeling it back and peeling it back and peeling it back. And
I was thinking more like Shrek. But
yeah, I didn't want to quote Shrek. I quickly on the fly, I was like, oh, what else has layers? Oh, a Brussels sprout.
Lettuce.
But
it's a really, it's, you know, it's one of those movies where it's like it should be talked about a little bit more.
Absolutely.
Because besides, like, you know, the good story, there's a little bit of education to MS
mm-hmm.
in there that, you know, I didn't know. That, like, I'm like, yeah. Oh, okay. You know, I learned things that I didn't know about MS because I don't think I've ever known anybody with MS.
Okay.
But, yeah, Paul Rudd does a really good job. Yeah,
I mean, Bobby Cannavale's in this.
Oh, yeah. You know? Selena Gomez is, like, surprising in this because usually she's doing the teeny stuff.
Like, did you watch Spring Breakers or whatever?
No,
it was?
I did not.
Like, I made it through. I think I stopped when James Franco showed up, and it was because when James Franco showed up.
As Jared Leto.
I'm like, I'm done. I'm out. I can't watch any more of this. You know, and you know, obviously with a little daughter.
Yeah.
Like, we watched Wizards of Waverly Place.
Sure.
So that's where I knew Selena Gomez from, right. Mostly. This was definitely a role that I did not see her being
and
in.
And the only reason I watched this is because... Because
you
Paul
had
Rudd
Selena
it.
Gomez.
No, it was, and then I started watching. I'm like, oh, Selena Gomez is in this too.
Yeah, I mean, when you said, hey, there's a cool movie with Paul Rudd, I was like, Don, what's it called?
Yeah.
So,
and it was just one of those late night watches. I was like, you know,
yeah, because
I've watched it like three times since then. And I'm just like,
it three times, and you suggested, it and I watched it that night.
Well, and it turned me on to something else that'll be on my favorite TV shows list.
Oh, with Paul Rudd?
No.
Oh, okay.
With somebody else in the movie. So, you'll see.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really Netflix is doing a real good job of producing stuff.
Yes, to the detriment of the service.
Right.
You know, like, I was flipping through the other day and, like, with the non-originals.
Yeah.
It looks like the wall of Blockbuster from when I worked there in
Every one of them looks like the wall of Blockbuster. Every service looks like the wall of Blockbuster, but every service knows that.
Yeah.
And they're producing their own original stuff that's making them... better.
And so that's the thing. Like, so more of this is what I want.
Yeah. I mean, like
not this movie, but this kind of
We did it with
film.
This list and we discussed it because it's one of those things where it's like we're not just going to do theatrical release stuff.
No, and we're not just going to do network television.
The thing with TV is like I'm probably going to have more stuff that's going to be direct service stuff then is going to be network service.
I mean,
stuff.
I can tell you right now, I probably have two FX shows.
Yeah,
I have two HBO shows, and then
I wonder what those are.
Three HBO shows.
Oh, three now. Okay.
Well, no, because I was thinking of something. And then anyway, and then
do six shows too.
There's not a lot of network stuff that I really find interesting.
I might cheat with that. I don't know.
No,
I haven't decided.
Let's try and keep it to six. Anyway,
no, I mean, I might cheat with just putting a lump of a group into
one. So
nah, it's not lame. They're meant to be that way.
Anyway, I don't know.
That's the reason why they air on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Oh, I see. Well, now it'll be after the finales, it'll be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah. Well,
so
that's okay too.
Yeah. Anyway. All right.
I don't know.
All right. So, I mean, we have 12 really good movies or 11 really good movies that you guys need to go see. Now
I highly recommend these. Definitely go watch Fundamentals of Caring. If there's any movie on this list, go watch Fundamentals of Caring because it is a good movie.
And then when you're done
and
with that,
and it is nowhere in the genre.
No, there's
any
no
sci-fi or anything in that movie.
No, it is. It was in my top five for the year.
I love genre movies. Yeah. I love action movies. I love, but I probably could make a top 10 list of movies that are not genre related that I will watch over and over again.
Josh Radnor from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
He wrote and directed one with Elizabeth Olsen.
Okay.
Called Liberal Arts.
I've heard of it.
I've told you about it.
Yeah, I've heard
like,
of it.
Like, that's the kind, like, honestly, that's the kind of movie that I love.
Right.
One of the
I love
the other thing, Don't Think Twice, the Mike Birbiglia one about improv.
Okay.
Like I bought it, but I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure that will probably end up on my list.
Okay.
Like, you know, that's my wheelhouse, right?
Yeah.
Like I love superheroes and
sure,
you
yeah.
know, like I love all this stuff. But I also love it as, you know, comics and
right.
you know, I really do like the TV stuff. But with the movies, like they're fun to go watch and escape.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And we go see them all right away because I don't want people sure. to tell me about it. But there's these little movies like The Fundamentals of Caring where
yeah.
I'll knock out like three or four of them. There was one, it didn't make my list, but it was Allison Brie, Rebecca Miller, right? She was the bad guy in Iron Man 3.
Oh yeah, okay.
Is it Miller? No, that's not right. Rebecca Hall.
Yeah.
And Jason Sudeikis called Tumbledown.
Okay.
And I love that movie. And,
yeah, there was one I watched with her where she played and it takes place like, I think in the 1930s or 40s.
Okay.
Where she was going in and breaking up the psychic groups. Like she was proving yeah. this isn't real. And then it really happens. Like it's a story where it really happens to her that she actually comes across a real incident, and it was really good. I forget the name of it, but it's on Netflix.
Yeah,
too.
And I mean there was another one with Jason Sudeikis and Allison Brie. It was like called Other People's Lovers or something.
Well,
like
right.
That,
there's movies that
like it's those kind
where
of things
where you just want to. It's yeah. just people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love Beautiful Girls.
Yeah.
Oh, and that is just
yeah. I mean. That was the first movie where, like, and I love Michael Rapaport.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the movie where I was like, this guy might be one of my favorite yeah. actors. You know, I loved him
that
when he's
that
when he's pushing
just...
the snow up against her.
Oh, yeah.
Martha
Plimpton.
Yeah, Martha Plimpton. I was going to say Virginia from Raising Hope, where he's pushing but he's listening to music and he's crying. And
yeah.
Like, you know, it was, yeah.
Yeah, it was really, it's really just, you know, there's movies like that, and that's where Fundamentals of Caring is mm-hmm. like, there's no action, adventure, explosions. It's
right.
just a story about people.
Yeah, it's
and
a
it
story.
Is good.
And it's a well-written,
yeah.
well-directed, well-shot story.
Yeah. I gave it 5 stars on Netflix. So.
5? Yeah. Yeah, I gave it 5, too. Yeah. All right. On that note.
Yes.
We're the Infamous Podcast. Did you know that?
Yeah.
All right.
I hope that people listening to this know that by now.
Anyway.
And if you're new, welcome.
If you're new and you liked what you heard, go give us a review on iTunes. We love it. And also, if you're new or if you've been listening to it for a while, you can find us on Patreon. We have some pretty cool levels.
And all those links
things.
Are on our website.
All those links are on the website. And yeah.
Twitter,
Facebook, Instagram, Infamous yep. Podcast, infamouspodcast.com. If you have questions for Johnny, like what's his favorite color or boxers
green.
Or briefs.
Green.
Green. All right. Boxers or briefs. It's contact at Infamous Podcast.
We're ruining it. You blew it.
Anyway, I'm Brian.
You don't
Tudor.
Want the truth because you can't handle the truth.
Hashtag truth. I'm Brian Tudor. I'm at Brian Tudor on most social networks.
I'm Johnny Potorf. I'm at Instagram mainly, Twitter sometimes, and Facebook.
Sweet.
So.
All right. Well, on that note, have a great day.
And if
night.
You do have any questions, you can send them to
yeah.
me. I
contact
will,
at
I will answer them as truthfully as I can.
All right. So wherever you are, wherever you're listening to this, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is.
If you want my Christmas list, just ask for that too.
Later.